Dave Pascoe is a 61-year-old man who ranks higher at the Rejuvenation Leaderboard than Brian Johnson, the entrepreneur who spends over $2 million a year to reverse his age. Dave Pascoe, on the other hand, spends only $30,000 a year. Hey, my name is Seem, and in this video, I'm going to go through Dave Pascoe's health routines. What supplements does he take? What foods does he eat? What kind of exercise does he follow? And what other tests does he do? So the Rejuvenation Olympics is this leaderboard created by Brian Johnson, and it just ranks people based on their epigenetic age tests. Dave Pascoe is number 6 on the Rejuvenation Olympics, and he's slightly ahead of Brian Johnson. His oldest two-test average was 0.79 compared to Brian's 0.8, and his most recent test was 0.66 compared to Brian's 0.69. Now, as a disclaimer, this leaderboard is very outdated. So the last time this leaderboard was updated was in September 2023. So that's, you know, over 6 months ago. I personally should also be on the leaderboard. And in fact, I would be actually number 1 as of now, based on the statistics from September 2023. My result would be 0.65 on the 3-test average, and my lowest score was 0.62. But they just haven't updated the leaderboard, which is a shame, because yeah, it would be interesting, but apparently they're not really, you know, willing to update it, or there's just some other problems related to that. But regardless, this video is about Dave Pascoe. So he has a website, davepascoe.net, where he outlines his routine pretty much in detail. So we'll just go through, and I'm gonna give my comments on these things. Chronological age, 61, will be 62 in August. Current epigenetic age, 37.95. Current pace of aging, 0.66. And he's number 6 on the Rejuvenation Olympics. Height, 6 feet. Weight, 167 pounds. BMI, 22.1. Marital status, single. Exercise, walking, running, hiking, P90X, yoga, Pilates, Carol bike. So this is kind of AI-based, high-intensity exercise machine where you're riding on a bike. Currently taking over 150-plus supplements a day, 82 in the morning, 76 in the evening. So that's interesting. He takes more supplements than Brian Johnson, and he has a slightly better result. So you would think, like, hey, more supplements, more results. But yeah, I'm personally taking only like 10 supplements a day. But yeah, I'm not, you know, thinking that it's inherently necessary, but I don't think that taking more supplements isn't inherently harmful either. There's no evidence that taking more supplements is somehow harmful, but, you know, we'll react to the exact list of supplements he takes and see what does he take. Self-observed differences from Brian Johnson. I'm chronologically 16 years older, so that's true. Dave is 61 and Brian is, I think, 45 or something like that. So yeah, there's a pretty big gap between them. I'm not a vegan. I'm not calorie restricted. In fact, I don't pay attention to calories at all. By limiting simple carbohydrates most of the time, I eat as much as I like without gaining weight and apparently without increasing my rate of aging. I agree with that, that you don't need to be in a severely calorie restricted diet. But the caveat here is that he's still pretty lean. He doesn't count calories, or he doesn't think about the calories. But if you were to calculate all the calories that he does eat, then he probably falls somewhere around his maintenance calories. Maybe sometimes he goes below that, sometimes above that. But the average is that he's somewhere around his maintenance calories. He's not eating extra calories because he wouldn't have, you know, such leanness. So the fact that he is so lean is just a reflection of his calorie intake as a whole. But yeah, you don't need to be in a super severe calorie restricted diet, but the most important part is to just not be overweight and be slightly on the leaner side. Dave is not on testosterone replacement therapy. His testosterone is pretty high, 808 to 1200. But the only thing he does take is thyroid replacement hormone, so T3 and T4, because since his early 30s, his thyroid stopped working. So let's look at his diet. What kind of meals does he eat? Weekday breakfast, so his typical breakfast Monday through Friday, one green banana. I would suggest or presume it's because of the lower glycemic index and a higher resistant starch content, which is going to be better for the glycemic control and the gut microbiome potentially. 4 heaping serving spoons of my chia nut berry bowl with additional unsweetened almond milk. So what's the chia nut berry bowl? Chia seeds soaked overnight in unsweetened almond milk, every type of organic nut and seed imaginable, so different kinds of nuts, chopped, organic berries, raspberries, blueberries, beetroot powder, camu-camu powder, maca powder, mangosteen powder, spirulina, Himalayan, tartary buckwheat, nutritional yeast, extra virgin olive oil, spices, basil, ginger, lemon thyme, etc. Are all these various nuts, seeds, spices necessary? Necessary, no. Beneficial? I believe, yes. any small subset would be just fine, but I personally like to go for maximal nutritional density and diversity. So I agree, like, you don't need to always eat all the possible nuts or all the possible berries out there, all the possible herbs out there. They have actually very similar effects and similar nutrient profile. So, like, if you compare blueberries to blackberries, for example, they're very similar in terms of their polyphenol and anthocyanin content. Maybe there is some difference between like strawberries and blueberries, but they're still very similar in terms of that as well. And that applies to the nuts as well. So like almonds versus hazelnuts, there's not a lot of difference between them and the herbs as well. Basil and cumin or lemon thyme, oregano, parsley, rosemary, they're herbs. They have very similar effects. So I agree that you don't need to always have a bunch of all the different possible options out there. You can get a lot of the benefits from a select few of these, but you know, if you want to put in like slightly more extra effort and it takes maybe more time to prepare this food, then you can go for it. Next, weekend breakfast, so Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday at home, one green banana again, 4 egg omelet with arugula and pre-cooked mushrooms. On Sunday at church, happy goat omelet with extra eggs, 3 and hash browns. Next, lunch only a few times per week, consisting of one or more of the following: one can of Wild Planet sardines, one can of mussels, one can of oysters, one can of mackerel, 8 to 10 pre-cooked thawed frozen shrimp. So this is like a seafood lunch. One avocado, one green apple, one pear, one orange, raw baby carrots, chunks of celery stalk, used like chips to scoop hummus, and chicken or beef bone broth. So yeah, just a nice lunch. I think it's a pretty good one. Dinner usually between 3 to 5 p.m., ending before 6 p.m., so making sure that he stops eating a few hours before bed. I agree, that's a good idea. All of my meat comes from Butcher Box, and it's organic, grass-fed, grass-finished. I'm still learning, but I've got the following items down pretty well. Number one, a very large pre-made salad. So this is the salad that he makes, this large pre-made salad. Mix of organic greens, arugula, baby spinach, baby spring mix, Swiss chard, mix of homegrown sprouts and microgreens, broccoli, fenugreek, lentils, mung, peas, radish. So these are sprouts, not the actual vegetables. Berries from my yard when in season, otherwise store-bought and organic when possible. Blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, goji berries. Shredded organic vegetables, beets, cabbage, carrots, parsnips, radishes, turnips, chopped tomatoes, sliced cucumber, whole green olives, goat cheese, nutritional yeast, optional chicken breast in extra virgin olive oil and or thawed pre-cooked shrimp, dressing, apple cider vinegar, extra virgin olive oil, blend of cold-pressed organic oils, black cumin oil, five-seed blend, black sesame oil, coriander oil, flax oil, sunflower oil, pumpkin oil. So I do agree that the Evo extra virgin olive oil is very healthy and is also associated with many health benefits and health outcomes, better health outcomes generally. Apple cider vinegar, I agree as well, is a good salad dressing and also has benefits on the glycemic response, lipid, postprandial lipids, etc. You know, I have heard a lot about black cumin oil, black seed oil, those kind of things. I've never tried them myself. I do think that extra virgin olive oil is probably better if you actually have the good quality extra virgin olive oil, and these different oils, I've never tried them as well. I haven't done research about them as well. Pumpkin oil and coriander oil, black sesame oil, etc. So for dinner is the pre-made salad that we just talked about, large salad with different vegetables and oils. And the number two option is a slow cooker meal such as chuck roast, cooked with baby carrots, purple, yellow and white onions, mix of potatoes, purple petit potatoes, sweet potatoes, yams, cayenne pepper, red pepper flakes, garlic, fresh chopped homegrown herbs. And the other option is pork ribs cooked with sauerkraut, baby carrots, fresh chopped homegrown herbs. B, or a new wave infrared oven grilled meal such as Atlantic wild caught salmon, grass-fed ground beef seasoned with Mrs. Dash. It's a very specific routine. Or instant pot pressure cooked chicken breasts. Three or more choices of sides: instant pre-cooked sweet potatoes, instant pot pre-cooked acorn squash, instant pot pre-cooked mushrooms with baby bella, shiitake, white button, etc. And instant pot pre-cooked rice, mix of various varieties, cooked in cast of mushroom juice and chicken or beef bone broth. So different kinds of, you know, I guess the option is like large salad, one of the meal of the meat options, chuck roast, ribs, salmon or beef. And then the third option is some sort of carbohydrate, instant pot pre-cooked like yams, squash, mushrooms or rice and broccoli. Let's move on with the supplements. What kind of 150 supplements does he take? All right, pre or post-workout supplement shake. So I guess it's some sort of a protein shake. Consumption and contents vary depending upon variables such as fasting status and whether I'm pushing autophagy or pushing mTOR and growth. And the first ingredient is almond milk, 12 ounces unsweetened, aminos, 1 scoop, 8 grams, colostrum, athletic greens, 1 scoop, beetroot powder, beta-alanine, collagen peptides, creatine monohydrate, D-ribose, citrulline, glutamine, leucine, lipids powder, which is not specifically what kind of lipids is in the ingredients, liposomal glutathione, mitopure powder, so this urolithin A, which is a compound, helps with mitochondrial function and mitophagy, plant sterol extract, free radical scavenger, raw phytoplankton, red powder, so red vegetables and berries, trehalose, which is a type of sugar that does promote autophagy, and whey protein, 1 scoop, 30 grams. So I guess this is either the pre- or the post-workout supplement, and I'm not sure which type of day does he take it. So this is the pre- and post-workout supplement. It's got a lot of ingredients and a lot of different flavors. I'm not sure how it would taste like if you have athletic greens, beetroot powder, and trehalose and whey protein in the same shake. So yeah, would be interesting to taste that kind of a shake, but it's got a lot of ingredients, and you know, generally these ingredients do help with physical performance and recovery. So D-ribose is like a sugar molecule, helps with energy production. Beta-alanine helps with the acid buffering. Citrulline helps with the pump. Creatine helps with energy and muscle strength. Collagen peptides help with the joint and skin. Colostrum helps with the gut and also recovery. Then there's, you got the aminos there, the whey protein, red powder. So yeah, it's got a lot of stuff. These are the supplements he takes on waking. So prescription drugs are the thyroid hormones, levothyroxine and liothyronine. Bill Andrews TAM818, which is a strong telomerase activator. It's scientifically proven to be more than 300 times stronger than any other anti-aging ingredient. So I haven't heard about this product. I'm not sure of the science behind it either. So telomerase increases telomere growth, but you know, this telomerase can also be implicated in some other negative health effects. So it's not necessarily something I would take myself, and I'm not sure of the science exactly. And the price is also pretty high, $800 for 90 capsules of 375 milligrams. So I'm not... You know, I wouldn't spend that kind of money. I'm not sure what kind of a science does it have as of now. TA Science says 25 milligrams. TA65 is a nutritional supplement extracted from Astragalus membranicus, dried root, and can help to maintain or rebuild telomeres. So this is another telomerase activator cell rejuvenation from Astragalus, and the price is also pretty hefty, $487 for 90 capsules. So again, I'm not aware of the science behind this product, and I'm not sure if it even has any proven benefits. So, but you know, Dave does take it. He spends almost $500 for this and $800 for the other product, so he might find it valuable. But again, I personally wouldn't probably take it, because I guess the science isn't that clear. Because if it really worked and really had, you know, that kind of miraculous effects, then many more people would take it, and you would probably hear more about it. But you know, it's $487 for 90 capsules and $800 for the other 90 capsules, so over $1,000 for these capsules alone. DHEA 10 milligrams, so this is a hormone, testosterone, a precursor, and it does generally go down with age. He doesn't take TRT, but at his age, taking DHEA might be effective. He had low testosterone. He says his testosterone is pretty high. So, you know, there's no evidence that people who have already elevated or higher end testosterone, that they would benefit from DHEA in terms of increasing testosterone levels. If your testosterone levels are low or on the lower end, you might see a slight increase. Or if you're a woman, then women generally see quite a lot of benefits from DHEA. But men who already have high testosterone, such as Dave, then at least they don't see, there's no studies that they would see additional benefits, if that makes sense. Pregnenolone 50 milligrams is another steroid hormone, and it also helps with recovery, sleep, and mood even. Mitochondrial energy optimizer with PQQ. So this is similar to CoQ10, but PQQ is slightly more potent for the mitochondrial function than CoQ10. Neo 40 Pro. Neo 40 Professional is a clinically researched patented technology that helps support healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range, increase nitric oxide levels, promote artery vasodilation, promote increased circulation, support healthy arterial function, and support cardiovascular and heart health. So this is more like a NO producer or NO synthesizer nitric oxide that helps with the circulation and blood pressure effects. But he already takes quite a lot of these NO promoters like beetroot powder and these other herb powders. They already have quite a potent effect on the vasodilation and nitric oxide production as well. So he's I'm not sure how much benefit he would gain from taking extra of these NO producers. Okay, moving on. Morning supplements with breakfast. Annatto GG, which is a compound found in annatto seeds that may support healthy cholesterol, inflammation, and overall health. True niagen or nicotinamide riboside, 300 milligrams, that helps with NAD. And yes, there's a lot of studies showing nicotinamide riboside, specifically true niagen, increase NAD in a dose-dependent manner. Biostack Labs, NAD Regen, calcium D-glucorate, 500 milligrams, compound found in many fruits and vegetables, supports natural detoxification. L-E-acetylcholine, CDP choline, so a choline supplement, important for the brain and liver health. L-E-super CLE blend with sesame lignans, CLE supplement that helps with fat metabolism. Super K, so a K2 and K1 supplement. Grass-fed beef liver, endocannabinoid system booster, so I guess some sort of a CBD product. Endothelial defense, arginine, folic acid, B6. Ergothionine, which is like it's some sort of considered like a longevity vitamin. You get it from some sort of different kinds of foods like mushrooms and vegetables, and it does have interesting effects. There's not a lot of research about ergothionine as a supplement in terms of health benefits. Healthgevity, longevity, anabolic peptide support. So this supplement also costs $79.99 for 30 days. So it's a pretty hefty supplement as well. And it contains different kinds of peptides. Peptides hydrolyzed from fava bean protein, astragalus membrane econus, and Panax Noto Ginseng. HMB helps with muscle preservation and reducing muscle catabolism. Like, I do believe that HMB is beneficial for the elderly people. There is research suggesting HMB helps with muscle maintenance in the elderly people or people who suffer from, you know, this muscle wasting. But if you're having this with breakfast, then it has less of a benefit. So I have taken HMB as well, and I take it usually on a fast state in the morning. So maybe having HMB immediately after waking up would make more sense, because if you're already eating, you're getting the protein from the food that already reduces the muscle catabolism. So HMB has less of an effect. Huperzine A is also like a cholinergic compound, helps with neurotransmitters. Megalycopene, antioxidant in tomatoes. Phosphatidylcholine, so another choline supplement. Pro-resolving mediators, a supplement designed to support the body's natural inflammatory response, including ingredients such as EPA and DHA. SAMI, so S-adenosylmethionine, is a methyl donor. Super absorbable tocotrienols, vitamin E form. Tongat Ali complex, so that's going to help with the testosterone. Vascanox, trying it out, supports nitric oxide. Vitamin D3, 8000 IUs. And Ultra Zeaxanthin with lutein, 6 milligrams. I do think that zeaxanthin is a good supplement, but you can also get it from quite a lot of foods. So my first comment for these morning supplements is that he's taking a lot of things that are somewhat redundant, in my opinion. At least, of course, he can do whatever he wants. I'm just giving like what I would do. Or I wouldn't stack a lot of these nitric oxide boosters, because excess nitric oxide can actually be harmful and cause more oxidative stress. And given that he's already eating so many nitric oxide boosting foods in his smoothie, in his regular meals, then I don't see any additional like reason to take extra NO boosters, at least in my opinion. And excess NO can actually be harmful. The same with these choline supplements, phosphatidylcholine and these acetylcholine, CDB choline, etc. He's taking so many of them, so it's hard to say, okay, which one work, how much would you actually need? So he's kind of stacking all these similar supplements, almost like for the sake of just stacking them. And you get a lot of the choline from your actual foods as well. So he eats like eggs pretty regularly, and the other foods have choline as well. So it's hard to say, okay, which ones are redundant and which one are like unnecessary in the first place. Same with like Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson takes like, you know, 100 supplements. A lot of the supplements are kind of redundant that he has. And I'm not saying that they might not have benefits. It's just that they're redundant almost, and they're kind of stacking the effects without knowing which ones work, in my opinion. Morning and evening supplements. Arteriosil, a patented blend of nutrients that provides endothelial support. So the similar with nitric oxide, promoting the production of nitric oxide. Astaxanthin, I think that is a good supplement. Skin benefits, cholesterol, inflammation, blood pressure benefits in human randomized clinical trials. So this actually has you know, solid human evidence in clinical trials that it works, which isn't the case with a lot of these other supplements like choline, etc. Calcium alpha-ketoglutarate. This is also an interesting supplement. There is a like one or two studies, I believe, showing that the calcium AKG supplementation reduces biological age by up to like 8 years, if I'm not mistaken, was the number. So it's certainly interesting. I would want to see more research about it. And yeah, it's but the problem is that it's also quite expensive. Next supplement, Nutikost DIM. So DIM is a helps with estrogen and hormone balance, ester C, patented form of vitamin C, kyolic aged garlic extract. I think this is a good supplement. It has research and garlic, allicin, aged garlic extract. They have human clinical trials as well showing the benefits on blood pressure, inflammation, cholesterol, blood sugar. So garlic is a really powerful food, and the garlic supplements also have benefits. Hyaluronic acid does have human trials, even doses of 200 milligrams, helping with skin hydration and skin aging. NAC has benefits, increases glutathione in human trials. So in these trials that they have done with glycine and NAC, the lowest effective dose was like 5 grams of NAC, and the doses of 2.5 grams of NAC didn't work either, and the same with glycine. So you need to get, based on the trials, like 100 milligrams per kilogram of glycine and 98 milligrams per kilogram of NAC to see benefits in increasing glutathione in the elderly people, so people in their 70s, 80s. Now, Dave is significantly healthier than the average 61-year-old person, but there is some age-related decline in glutathione as well, starting at the age of 45 already. So for him, taking 1,000 milligrams of NAC, I would presume it does have some benefits and it can help. But at least based on the studies, like 2.5 grams isn't even enough to see effects. Lipoic acid, antioxidant, taurine, 4,000 milligrams. So there was the recent mouse study in 2023 that showed that a dose of 3 to 6 grams of taurine, so 4,000 milligrams would be in the middle of there, did have benefits on extending lifespan in those mice. So 4,000 milligrams would work to fit that kind of a paradigm or the results of that study. But again, it's a mouse study. We don't have a lot of human trials, at least in such large doses of taurine. So I do think taurine is probably good and it has benefits. I'm just not taking it myself right now on a regular basis, at least. TMG, betaine, so 3,000 milligrams, supports methylation, liver function, and cardiovascular health. I agree. TMG is good. It even has like exercise performance benefits. I take TMG every day myself for methylation support, and I'm trying to get my homocysteine lower as well. I take only 1 gram per day. I might, you know, increase it actually also to a bit higher dose. Multivitamin that has vitamins and minerals, and yarrow ubiquinol. So this is CoQ10. Evening supplements, Pendulum Acromantia, so probiotic, pure apigenin, that helps with NAD levels by suppressing CD38, and it has other anti-inflammatory effects, I agree. It's also a senolytic. It's just we don't have any human trials with senolytics, so we don't know, again, like what's the necessary dose for these senolytics. Arachidonic acid, 1,500 milligrams, so it actually increases inflammation, or it promotes this cell swelling in response to resistance training, so it can actually help with muscle growth. It's just another example of like stacking a lot of supplements. So he takes this supplement that is a precursor to certain inflammatory molecules in the body, so it helps with muscle growth through the increased inflammation, but then he's also taking a lot of anti-inflammatory supplements. So, you know, which one is it? Like, is the anti-inflammatory supplements counteracting the effects of this arachidonic acid, or is the arachidonic acid exceeding the anti-inflammatory supplements, so he needs to take anti-inflammatory supplements? So we don't know, because there's no research about that. So it's, you know, I think my message here is to let people know that you need to think about, okay, what kind of supplements are you taking? And if you're stacking a lot of supplements, you have no idea if they contribute to each other or if they cancel each other out, what's the actual effect size that you're getting. So it's just a lot of these, you know, people might get impression that they need to just take, oh, this supplement has this research, I'm going to take it and I'm going to keep stacking all the supplements, etc., etc. Optimized ashwagandha, so everyone pretty much knows what that is, helps with stress and relaxation, it might help with testosterone as well. Extra strength avmacol, so sulforaphane and myrosinase, NRF2 activator, helps with glutathione. Bacopa helps with cognition. Thorn, berberine, 200 milligrams, helps with cholesterol, blood sugar. and inflammation. Beta-glucans found in different kinds of plants and fungi. Bilberry extract, optimized broccoli and cruciferous blend. So he's taking the sulforaphane and myrosinase, and he's taking the broccoli and cruciferous blend as well. So it's, again, stacking some supplements. Carnitine, and helps with energy production and fat loss. Super carnosine helps with fighting advanced glycation end products, which I think is a good supplement to take, in my opinion. I'm not taking it myself, but I think it would make sense why, because at least it's a unique effect that you don't get from the other supplements. Chromium picolinate helps with cholesterol and insulin sensitivity. Curcumin, so inflammation. So it's funny, like curcumin in large amounts can suppress muscle hypertrophy, especially if you take it after training. So evening supplements, I would suggest then the curcumin comes after the training. So he's taking the arachidonic acid in the evening that supposedly increases the inflammatory response, but then he's also taking the anti-inflammatory curcumin that suppresses the inflammatory response and suppresses the muscle hypertrophy response. So it's interesting, like you take the inflammatory, but then you like the anti-inflammatory, so it's like upwards, downwards. So it's a bit like, I think the timing is a bit off. So like if you want to take curcumin, then it's better to take it in the morning and not after exercise. After the exercise, you could take arachidonic acid, and it would probably have effects in increasing the cell swelling response and muscle hypertrophy. But taking arachidonic acid with curcumin together doesn't make sense, in my opinion. EGCG, green tea extract. So this helps as well with like fat burning and liver health and other benefits. But taking it after exercise, again, isn't, I think, the smartest idea, because EGCG is mTOR inhibitor and AMPK activator, so it does the opposite of recovery. So you should take this in the morning, like you should take it before exercise to help with the fat oxidation during the exercise. So taking it after the exercise, again, like cancels out some of the benefits of the exercise, or at least mitigates some of the effects. Fatty 15, so C15 is the type of fatty acid. Fatty 15 is the world's first and only science-backed, patented, award-winning C15, a supplement that supports your long-term health and wellness. So 90-day starter kit is $119, so $120, 30-day trial kit, $50. So again, it's a pretty hefty supplement. I'm not sure exactly what this does and if it's even necessary. Next up, ginkgo biloba for the cognition and brain side. GiroProtect Longevity AI, antioxidant blend polyphenol and omega-3 fatty acids. Ageless Cell, a supplement designed to support healthy aging by promoting cell repair and regeneration. Glucosamine chondroitin, so helps with joints. I do think that a larger dose of glucosamine is needed. So 3 grams of glucosamine sulfate, for example, is what provides greater benefits for the joints. And usually the lower doses, so like one gram, 1.5 grams. The reason why people think glucosamine doesn't work is because they take such a low dose. So like 1 gram isn't enough generally. So like higher dose, 3 grams, is what would be more effective. Grapeseed extract, another proanthocyanid supplement. So, you know, again, this is like another AMPK activator, mTOR inhibitor. So this would be better in the morning. Again, like it's interesting to take it after the training, in my opinion. HelioCare Fernblock. Fernblock protects skin cells, maintains their structure, increasing collagen, hyaluronic acid, and elastin. Healthy Cell AC11 supports health span by enhancing natural ability to repair DNA. So a 30-serving supplement, $32.99. Swanson Reuteri Plus, so probiotic, lactoferrin, milk protein, sunflower lecithin, luteolin, lithium orotate, 1,000 micrograms. So again, every time I mention lithium orotate, then people are kind of overreacting, thinking like it's harmful. You get it from batteries, car batteries. Well, like lithium is a quite interesting supplement, and it does have a few studies showing that higher lithium levels, as well as higher amounts of lithium in the drinking water, are associated with longevity in different parts of the world as well. So not just one single location. So higher amounts of lithium, naturally occurring lithium in the tap water, is linked to lower homicide, lower suicide, and slightly longevity, better mental health. So it helps with brain health. And there are a few clinical trials as well that lithium might help with some aspects of mood disorders, etc. So I have taken lithium as well. I think it's a pretty interesting and potentially beneficial supplement in smaller doses, so like 1,000 micrograms. Lysine, amino acid, protein synthesis, collagen production. Natokinase, so I've mentioned natokinase on my channel as well. So the most interesting thing about natokinase is that it has been shown to reduce plaque scores in humans. We would probably need more studies to confirm that, but as of now, I do think natokinase is a potential longevity supplement in the future, at least for the cardiovascular health. It has many other cardiovascular benefits as well. Nutrafol, physician formulated for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Magnesium Breakthroughs is this kind of a seven different types of magnesiums. I think it's a great product. I like it. Milk thistle helps with liver health and glutathione production. MSM, so another sulfur compound for the joints. Pterostilbene is a kind of cousin molecule to resveratrol, but there's no like human studies really about that. Same with like resveratrol. It doesn't have any human studies showing that it's actually beneficial for longevity unless you are obese and unless you have metabolic syndrome. Pycnogenol, so it's the maritime pine bark extract, rich in procyanidins and antioxidants. Again, it's a autophagy inducer and AMPK activator, so you'd want to take it before the exercise, not in the evening, in my opinion. Red yeast rice helps with cholesterol levels. Resveratrol, I mentioned it, there's very little evidence that it has any benefits in otherwise healthy people, and it actually reduces VO2 max, might reduce muscle growth, and reduces testosterone levels as well. So it only works, at least in mice, it only works if the mice are super obese and eating like a very fatty diet. But in humans, there is some trials as well where it works in improving blood sugar and cholesterol levels, but only in people who are, you know, overweight and with metabolic syndrome. So palmetto extract for testosterone. Again, I'm not taking any testosterone boosters myself. They might help, they might work, and they might not work either. High potency serrapeptase, SIRT6 activator, Naturals SOD powder, so superoxide dismutase, antioxidant again. I wouldn't take it in the evening after exercise. Spermidine, so this supplement, you know, there's at least two clinical trials, recent ones, that one found that it didn't raise blood spermidine levels, and two, it didn't improve cognition in elderly people. So these two studies, at least for me, are showing that there's no point in supplementing spermidine, and you want to get the spermidine from the foods that you eat, so like mushrooms, vegetables, cheese, and other stuff like that. So he eats a lot of spermidine from his diet. And the associations with longevity all are based on the dietary spermidine. So the study showing that spermidine intake is linked to reduced mortality and greater longevity are based on the dietary spermidine. So I wouldn't take a spermidine supplement myself. Stem regen, natural ingredients promoting stem cell release and migration. So I'm not sure, again, if there is any studies about this supplement or if you can even induce them. There are a few compounds that do help with stem cell activation and production. But yeah, like one bottle, 60 capsules, $186. You know, that's not something I would myself take, at least. Stinging nettle root. So this helps with kidneys, I guess, and with prostate. Zinc, 30 milligrams. Pretty high dose, like the RDA for zinc is only 8 milligrams. And taking large amounts of zinc can have quite negative effects, like it can reduce your copper status, which reduces hemoglobin levels, and it can also increase cholesterol levels. So personally, I wouldn't take 30 milligrams of zinc every day, especially if you're already getting quite a lot of zinc from your food. Like, yes, zinc does increase testosterone, but it has other negative effects, especially if you're taking as a supplement in larger quantities. So he's getting a lot of the seafood, like the sardines and oysters and stuff, they have already quite a lot of zinc. So he's getting well beyond the RDA from his diet alone. Next up, every other week, if not weekly, rapamycin, 6 milligrams. So this is the mTOR inhibitor. It's thought to have longevity benefits. Obviously, we don't have human trials. In animal studies, rapamycin is the only like pharmaceutical that has been repeatedly and consistently shown to extend lifespan. And the effects are very similar to the gold standard of life extension in animals, which is calorie restriction. And rapamycin is certainly very interesting, and I am excited for the future trials about rapamycin. I'm not taking it myself right now, but again, it might have like some negative side effects. As of now, there are no real known side effects to rapamycin, even in people who are taking it recreationally. Once a week or month in the evening, the fisetin, 800 milligrams, quercetin, and theaflavin. So these are these senolytics, and I guess he's taking it for the sake of cleaning out the senescent cells. But again, the problem is, like I mentioned, there's no studies, human clinical trials on the senolytics as of now. They're being done, they're coming out in the next few years, but as of now, there's no established protocol of how much senescent cells you need to remove, how much of these compounds you need to take to get those effects, how frequently you should do it, how should you pulse them, So we don't have that kind of data. So right now it's very speculative to take Synalytics and do like a Synalytic cleanse a few times a month or something. It's very speculative as of now, and it's hypothetical. But in the future, we might have these trials. But, you know, these supplements are generally with anti-inflammatory effects, antioxidant effects, but there's no established senolytic protocol, if that makes sense. First of all, you don't have a way to like measure your senescent cell burden. There are a few biomarkers, but they're not found in your like regular lab. You can't measure your senescent cell burden from your doctor, for example. So first of all, you don't know how to measure it. You don't know what's the right protocol, how frequently you should do it, and how much of these compounds you should take. So I'm not doing any senescent cell cleaning myself. So overall, my impression with his supplement routine is that he's, you know, taking a few pretty interesting ingredients. He's trying to like stack all together, and it's kind of hard to understand what's the goal with this routine. And, you know, it would make sense if he times them more properly. So, for example, he takes these anti-inflammatory supplements in the evening, presumably after the workout, but he also takes this quote unquote inflammatory supplement, arachidonic acid, at the same time. And yeah, so it's pretty all over the place, in my opinion, at least. And given how much these supplements cost, like a few of the supplements, they costed like $70 per 1 month package, $186 per 60-day package. So these supplements are pretty expensive. And I would imagine that he spends over half of all of these things on his supplements. So he probably spends like over $1,000, maybe $2,000 per month on supplements. It's hard to say which ones work and which ones are actually giving the biggest effects for him. So that's why I like to take more of like a conservative approach to supplements. I personally take right now only less than 10 supplements a day. And I do think the reason I take them is that because they have so much evidence and proven to work. And we know the exact dosage. We have multiple human clinical trials showing the effects. So my approach would be to, yeah, like just take the least but most effective supplements rather than taking a lot of different supplements that also stack on top of each other, and also the things that you're already getting from the diet. So all these NO boosters, all these polyphenols, all this anti-inflammatory stuff, he's getting a lot of them from the diet. And the same applies to Brian Johnson as well, who's taking like 100, over 100 supplements per day. Brian Johnson is also stacking these same things without knowing if they work, without knowing what's the effect size of an individual supplement. He says he does know that, but he doesn't really know that because he hasn't done a specific split test, so to say, because it's impossible to split test 100 supplements while controlling all the other variables. So yeah, like you will never know exactly, does this supplement work and how big of an effect are you getting it from there. So that's why I created my own supplement list. You can get it for free at cinlan.co/supplement-list, or click the link in the description to get your free PDF of the supplements I take and the list of the most effective supplements that are out there and the list of supplements that don't work. But of course, Dave does many other things besides taking supplements. So we'll continue with his other routines. So this is his daily routine, morning routine. Wake up whenever I wake up, no alarm, no stress. While still in bed, I do the Beamer Bee Body Mat. So this is this kind of like not necessarily a PMF mattress, but it's this, I've tried it myself. It's this kind of a microcirculation device that helps with causing microcirculation, as they say, and supposedly helps with circulation. It's not PMF per se, but it's slightly different with similar effects. Stretch the lower back, feet overhead with knees to chest. Take on waking medications and supplements, as we talked about. Begin listening to podcasts, see subscriptions and or Audible book selection. And then he does, not necessarily in this order, mini trampoline 5 minutes, various floor stretches 15 minutes, foam roller 15 minutes, inversion table 5 minutes, brush teeth, scrape tongue, wash face, weigh myself, check sleep scores on fitness trackers. So yeah, it's a good idea to obviously stretch and get your body moving a little bit after waking up. Brush your teeth, scrape tongue, wash face. Those are also underrated and quite important. At least 1 hour after waking up, he takes the morning supplements, bioregulators of the week, various proteolytic enzymes, and Qualia Senolytic. All washed down with home-brewed lemon tea, Omnibiotic Hetox Probiotics, Optivida Health Complete Essentials, collagen peptides, add another half cup of 3-stage filtered water to completely fill my glass mug. Methylene Blue occasionally, H2 tablet, so molecular hydrogen, Juve session, red light therapy 20 minutes, hopefully before sunrise, Carol bike sprint, then prepare and begin drinking the pre-post-workout supplement shake. which is the shake that we talked about, 1 teaspoon each of the following: bulletproof MCT oil, C60 in extra virgin olive oil, Rosita cod liver oil, Siberian sea buckthorn oil. Step outside for some sunrise exposure. Agreed, that's a quite important thing. I would even do it like before, but he might wake up before the sunrise. So yeah, normally an outdoor walk or run would occur here in warmer weather. To avoid a slip and fall injury during the winter months, I opt for the treadmill in my basement whenever the outdoor temperature drops below freezing. P90X, workout of the day, sometimes all at once, sometimes performed piecemeal throughout the day in exercise snacks. Tap out XT. 8-pack abs, XT and P90X ab Ripper X together back to back every other day. So this kind of body weight, high intensity workout, infrared sauna and meditation, 25 to 45 minutes. Inject peptides of the day when applicable. Shower with Dr. Bronner's Castile soap and occasionally using Alitura Meteorite facial scrub. Moisturize with La Roche-Posay Lipicar Balm AP plus Intense Repair body lotion for dry skin, especially in winter. Eat breakfast. So you see breakfast menu with proteolytic enzymes. Quarterly and semi-annual plasma donations twice weekly for 2 to 3 plus weeks quarterly. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, 10 90-minute sessions, 10 days in a row, annually or semi-annually for injury repair, DNA repair, telomere lengthening, and clearance of senescent cells. Early mid-afternoon routine, eat lunch occasionally. I usually get too busy to stop to eat only a few times a week. I have the lunch. Pause listening to podcasts and audiobooks. Begin watching YouTube videos. See subscription while eating. Late afternoon and early evening routine. End of listening to podcasts, audiobooks, and YouTube videos. I eat dinner typically between 3 to 5 p.m. Evening supplements plus proteolytic enzymes taken with dinner, weekdays only. Begin watching Netflix in the kitchen while dining. Smart home with Philips Hue light bulbs in recessed lighting all throughout the house. All screens. Reduce blue light on a schedule. Good. So you put the blue blocking on, blue blocking glasses to prepare for the evening. So it's good that he respects the circadian rhythm. After dinner routine, continue watching Netflix in the den while working on balance and flexibility with Bosu Ball and Fitter First balance board. So he's doing balance exercises in the evening. Eat 2 kiwis. So I guess this helps with sleep. There's a study showing that kiwis help with sleep and serotonin. Occasional light snack of pistachios and chlorella. Bedtime routine, floss, brush teeth, wash face with La Roche-Posay. Apply whole body skin treatments, especially on face, neck, chest, and hands, combining and or rotating the following products. Cara Omni Stem Cell Regenerative Cream and Anti-Pigmentation Formula. Differin Gel Hyaluronic Acid, One Skin OS1, Vitali Skincare. Sleep Breakthrough supplement mixed with collagen peptides, HVM Ketone IQ. Interesting to take the ketones before bed like that. And rapamycin, inject evening peptides when applicable. Beamer, body mat, pray and review my daily blessings until I fall asleep. So that's there's no timing of when he goes to bed, but that's his routine. So these are the highlights of Dave's routine, his supplement routine, his diet, his exercise, and his daily routine. I'm not going to go through all the testing he does. I'm not going to go through all the gadgets he uses, etc. You get the idea already of the general picture of what he does. So my overall impression is that he's pretty dedicated to his routine. He's pretty optimized in terms of that. He follows it consistently. He's getting great results. Obviously, he looks great for someone who's in his 60s, and he gets great results with all his epigenetic tests, his blood work as well, as I presume, and he gets better results than Brian Johnson. And he spends only $30,000 a year on all of this protocol, which is significantly less than Brian Johnson. But again, like, it's still quite a lot, like $30,000 per year. So that would be something around like $2,500 per month, which I'm not sure what the economic difference between US and Estonia would be. So $2,500 in Estonia to spend on all of the supplements, and I presume the foods as well, would, it's definitely on the higher end in terms of Estonian economics. But in the US, it's pretty reasonable, I would presume, like $2,500 on all the foods and supplements would, you know, maybe be more than the average person, but it's still pretty reasonable. Does he need to spend all of that money? You know, that's his decision. He does it what he wants. That's his life. I'm just giving my thoughts and comments on the topic. He definitely could, you know, if he wants to cut down on the budget or something, he would definitely reduce some of the supplements because a lot of them are redundant. That's kind of my main comment on the supplements. And yeah, like that's where he would probably gain the most price reduction, but you know, he can do what he wants. And I did notice that Dave watches my YouTube channel because I was in one of his list of the YouTube subscribed channels that he watches. So if you're watching this, Dave, then I've been trying to get you on my podcast. I haven't found any contact email. I tried to reach out on LinkedIn, but you haven't responded. So if you're watching this, probably you are. So then you can reach out to me on email and we'll do a podcast if you're up for it. Other than that, if you want to check out my longevity routine, then check out my evidence-based longevity routine video in the description. Other than that, thanks for watching this video. Make sure you click the like and subscribe. My name is Siim. Stay optimized, stay empowered.